In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in our
shadow.
In Matthew 25, Jesus paints an image of the judgment, a rather terrifying image. And one of the things that's particularly terrifying about it is that he lays out all the various things when he separates the sheep from the goat. He enumerates the various things that people had either done or neglected to do. And so you had among the sheep, you had those who had fed him, who had clothed him, who had visited him in prison, who had ministered to him in some way. And you had those who were goats who did not do those things, who did not minister to him in any way. What is more terrifying about the gospel than the separation of the sheep from the goats is that both those who went around and ministered to the Lord and those who did not minister to the Lord had no idea of what they had done or what they had done not. And so those who were separated as goats asked and said, "Lord, when did we not minister to you? When did we not feed you? When did we not clothe you?" It doesn't say that our Lord answers them. He says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, you wicked servants." So we will be judged not only for those things that we do, or we'll be justified for those not only those things that we do, but we also may be condemned for the things that we neglect, the things that we ignore. In today's gospel, we have a further elaboration of this same thing. We have the successful, wealthy, healthy, well-fed man who's described as a rich man. And we have Lazarus at his gate, who is full of wounds and sores, dying and being licked by dogs. And the rich man didn't do anything against Lazarus. He really didn't consciously, wasn't mean to him. He didn't scoff. There's no mention of that in the scripture anyway. What is mentioned is that there Lazarus laid by the gate and that the rich man ignored him. Or we don't even have to say that he consciously ignored him. We could say he simply didn't notice him. Or I think by the end of the gospel, we know that he noticed him because even when he addresses Abraham, he says, "Send Lazarus, the servant, your servant." He doesn't think to apologize or to think that he's done anything wrong by neglecting Lazarus. But it is simply, "Send the servant Lazarus down here to dip his finger to serve me." In short, even by the end of the gospel, he simply doesn't get it. He doesn't get the amounts of neglect and avoidance and ignorance and ignoring that he's committed in his life. And this challenge is leveled to us, and the obvious level of this parable today is that we should not neglect those who are less fortunate, those who we encounter. And in Orthodoxy, or in Christianity, rather I say, we don't have our Lord going out and serving the poor or serving the sick. He encounters persons, people. Sometimes he goes to them. Sometimes they come to him. But when he encounters those people, he serves them. He heals them. He gives of the abundance which he has within himself to them, whether it be the sustenance, we would say this is the challenge for us, is whether it be the sustenance of our food, our money, our clothing, or whatever it is, to simply give to those that we encounter. Because so much of our society is built on taking care of the poor as some mass or some group that is far away and aloof. Well, there are poor around us. There are those who need our help around us if we're not ignoring them. So the surface is obvious. We'll be condemned for ignoring those who are poor around us. We can also spiritualize today's parable and say that those things that we ignore in our lives can come up and haunt us in the afterlife. That part of the condemnation of today is the fact that we are sent opportunity day by day to serve Christ somehow, whether by word or by deed. And typically this is in the face of other people and serving other people. But we are given a multitude of opportunities. And if we're not looking for them, then it is so easy to simply go and live richly and fare sumptuously. You could say that the rich man is the 1%, but in all the history of the world, no matter how poor you are in this room, in this church, Americans by far are the 1% of the world. Our poverty does not compare to the poverty that about a third to 60% of the world experiences. To 60% of the world, we are the rich. And so no matter how poor you feel, it bears mind to put this in perspective and to think that our poverty, that even in our poverty, there's the widow's mite, there's the gifts that we can give. Because we may not be faring sumptuously and dining like a king, but to many we are, comparatively, especially to those on the street, especially to those with broken hearts and broken souls. So we mentioned the first task is to encounter people and to give of ourselves. But in order to encounter people, we have to want to see them. We have to want to not flee from them. We have to want to not avoid them. We have to not want to avoid their issues and the profundity of brokenness that's out there. We have to, within our own spiritual lives, not want to avoid our own brokenness, our own inability to be square with society and live in healthy ways. Those are things that shouldn't be ignored, because when they're ignored, ultimately, again, it is in our willing ignorance, it is in our willing avoidance of our issues, and not only our personal issues, but also those issues that are external to us, that manifest within the faces of society in brokenness and the brokenness that people experience. It's in our avoidance of that the rich man is condemned today. And so the task, again, is not only to serve those who are poor, those people we encounter, but to be honest with ourselves. Are you blind to your neighbor's suffering? Do you care? Do you care at all? Are you just busy allotting and collecting your wealth? Are you busy worrying about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat? Are you busy worrying about the next thing you're going to do to entertain yourself? Are your eyes open to the possibility that you walk right past those who may utilize you, that may need your help? That's on the external. On the internal, are we so busy seeking entertainment that we forget the Lazarus in our own hearts, the neglected spiritual life that is full of sores and simply lays there waiting for someone to throw it a scrap of food, to throw it one scripture reading or one prayer or something of substance, because the inner life is so neglected and wilted that it's dying? Now, there are a multitude of ways to take today's parable, but in the end, We'll notice that the rich man is in Hades suffering, and he has no clue why. And he doesn't get it so much as he still considers Lazarus his servant. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He doesn't ask anything. The only thing he cares about is being sent someone to ease his suffering, because it's the only principle he lived his life around, which is, what can I do to make my life better, my life less suffering? Totally self-centered. Now, finally, at the end of today's gospel parable, it is mentioned that send Lazarus from the dead. And there's an irony here, because Lazarus, later, Jesus' friend Lazarus, is raised from the dead. And what do people want to do to Lazarus after he's raised to dead, from the dead? With the message that Lazarus was raised with, they want to kill him. And what do they want to do to Jesus when he raises from the dead? They want to make excuses and ways to deny him. And so sometimes we tell ourselves that if a dramatic example came to us, if God could reveal himself to us in such a way as we couldn't deny it, that somehow we would amend our ways. It's the same feeling those in Matthew 25 would have had. Lord, if you just would have told us that you were in prison, we would have visited you. If you just would have told us you had a need, we would have tended to your need. But that's the irony of it. It's because even if one were to raise from the dead and point it out, even if one were to come to church every Sunday and to read the scriptures and to really try to absorb it and get it, so often we're so preoccupied with ourselves that we miss the entirety of it and essentially live, again, self-centered lives. So Jesus knows that he will raise from the dead. And in this parable is poking. It is saying, even when someone comes from the dead. So, again, you hear it from me to say, to challenge yourself, to ask that God would open your eyes. If you feel self-centered, if you feel like you don't care about anyone but yourself, and about your comforts, and about what is next in your life, and how you're going to entertain yourself, if that is descriptive of some part of your heart, then ask God to help you now. Ask God to show you now. Ask God to show you and expose you to it. But for your own effort, don't walk by those people. Try to wake up yourself. Try to see those who are less fortunate around you. And don't run away from those who are in need. We can only do our best in the end. In the end, we can do our best. And the point of today's parable is that, again, we wake up. The last thing that we want is to be suffering in Hades and to be looking up and saying, oh Lord, the things that we thought we did. Because you remember, there's another thing that Jesus says. It isn't those who say, Lord, Lord, who enter the kingdom of heaven. It isn't simply by calling on his name. In the parable we presented, it is the people we serve who will justify or condemn us. It is the people we ignore who will condemn us. It is our own souls that we ignore that will condemn us. May God bless us to wake up in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.